Type 2 diabetes has become such a common disease, with earlier this year statistics showing that 37.3 million Americans, which is about 1 in 10, have diabetes, and about 1 in 5 of those don't actually even know they have it. While this disease is common in what often appears otherwise healthy individuals, I want to take a closer look today in this episode at what diabetes is. PCOS puts women at high risk of developing type 2 diabetes, and in fact, many women that I meet already have been diagnosed with prediabetes or type 2 diabetes. So what is diabetes? How does it impact the body? Well, that, my friend, is exactly what we'll be talking about in this episode. So let's get started. You're listening to the PCOS Repair Podcast, where we explore the ins and outs of PCOS and how to repair the imbalances in your hormones naturally with a little medical help sprinkled in. Hi, I'm Ashleen Korchek, and with many years of medical and personal experience with polycystic ovarian syndrome, it is my joy to watch women reverse their PCOS as they learn to nourish their body in a whole new way. With the power of our beliefs, our mindset, and our environment, and the understanding of our genetics, we can heal at the root cause. Welcome back to the PCOS Repair Podcast, where today we're going to be diving in a little deeper into the insulin effect root cause of PCOS, as well as type 2 diabetes, and how you can decrease your risks of developing it. I see a lot of confusion around insulin in general. Why is it such a big deal in relation to PCOS? How does that really affect our health? And more importantly, how do we get a hold of it and improve our longevity and avoid the threat of long-term disease such as type 2 diabetes? So let's get started by discussing insulin and the spectrum of healthy all the way to a disease state of type 2 diabetes. This spectrum has four stages. First, we have healthy insulin receptors that are very responsive to insulin being released in our body, and they allow our blood sugar, you know, that food we just ate, to enter our body's cells and do what it's supposed to do. That's the state of health that we want to be in. Then we start to see in stage two, higher levels of insulin on a continual basis. So every once in a while is not a big deal, but when we are continually, day after day after day, seeing high levels of insulin, and this is usually due to diet and lifestyle, then we start to see a problem, and we'll talk about that more in a minute. Then the third stage is where we actually enter the stage of prediabetes, where our lab values are being elevated, it's detectable on blood tests, but we haven't quite reached the level in our lab work to indicate diabetes. Then stage four comes the official diagnosis of type 2 diabetes. Over time, this will then create blood vessel complications, leading to risk of heart disease, stroke, heart attacks, vision decline, even into blindness, kidney failure or nerve damage, and so much more. So you can see that although this disease is extremely common, type 2 diabetes is not something that you want to have. And while type 2 diabetes is something that every human is at risk for developing, if they don't follow lifestyle measures to prevent it, women with PCOS are at a lot higher risk of developing type 2 diabetes and at a much earlier age. That is why this episode is so important to me. I know most of you are already aware of the risk of developing type 2 diabetes, and some of you already have been diagnosed with it. This episode is not about creating fear or trying to scare you about PCOS, but instead it's about bringing something that is scary into the light, and let's talk about it today. What can we do to improve our health and our PCOS symptoms no matter where we are on that spectrum of insulin and diabetes and what stage you're at? I vividly remember when I was first diagnosed with PCOS while struggling with fertility. I was in my late 20s, and I felt, aside from just the frustration of the infertility, I felt devastated because I felt destined to be this overweight, childless, hairy diabetic. And it was literally this depressing fear that spurred me into action that became my PCOS journey. If you want to hear my full story, I will link to that in the show notes below. But the great news is that just as you can worsen along that spectrum of healthy insulin to type 2 diabetes, you can also improve and move in the opposite direction towards better health. And that is what we are going to focus on today. Okay, so in order to really understand what's going on here, let's begin with insulin. We hear insulin in so many negative connotations, but insulin is a great thing. It's actually what tells our body. It's released when it senses blood sugar in the bloodstream, and it tells our body to allow that blood sugar energy, the food that we just ate, into our cells to be used. It's how we get energy into our body. And then, you know, it goes into the cells and it does that whole Krebs cycle and ATP thing that you learned about in high school chemistry. But it's what provides us with the energy that we need to function, to feel alive, to feel energetic, to have a good metabolism. It's what gives our brain the energy to think and be sharp and to not feel sluggish and lethargic. And it's what gives our organs and muscles all of the energy and food that they need to allow us to stay healthy and strong. But when we overtax that insulin system in our body, that's when it becomes a problem because it will stop listening to us as well as it did at first. So as the body stops responding as well to that blood sugar in our blood vessels, our cells and our pancreas compensate by producing more insulin. It's kind of like your insulin levels are shouting. They're saying, let me in, instead of just giving it a quiet, gentle knock. And more and more and more insulin is released until our body finally responds. This is where we start to see problems with the insulin effect for PCOS. This is kind of in that stage two on the spectrum of healthy to type 2 diabetes. When we start to see high levels of insulin on a regular basis due to what we are eating, it creates all sorts of different side effects in our body. And these include things like increased weight gain or resistance to losing weight. It also increases our testosterone, which can lead to LH and FSH ratio problems, which creates ovulation problems, period problems, and possibly cysts on your ovaries. It can also start to create additional inflammation in the body. Also, that increased testosterone can lead to acne, hair loss, and increased hair growth on the face. And all of this can be happening long before your doctor would say that your labs indicate insulin resistance. Because again, this is a spectrum. There was normal body function, and then it starts to struggle, and this can be happening over a progression of years. When you are young, like in your 20s and 30s, your body is doing its best to compensate for lifestyle, for diet, for what's going on in your body, even though it has already started along this spectrum towards type 2 diabetes. And that is why you're seeing symptoms, even if your insulin and glucose labs are otherwise considered normal. This is where a lot of the confusion comes in. This is where women have been told you are not insulin resistant, you do not have prediabetes, and they don't understand then what to do because they think, well, that part of my body is fine. Then we start to enter the realm of insulin resistance. So as we progress along that spectrum, we start to get to stage three. This occurs when our body has been pumping out excess insulin for so long that our cells and our brain and all of our body tissues and our heart and every body system is not accepting that signal of insulin anymore. And it starts to lead to the pancreas doing its best by pumping out really large magnitudes of insulin. Now, at this point, we could start to see this elevation in our lab work, our blood work. We may not see blood sugar elevation yet at this point, but if we did an insulin tolerance test, we could see elevated insulin response. Your hemoglobin A1C will likely be normal. Your fasting glucose will likely still be normal. Because again, your body is still pumping out enough insulin to keep your blood sugar under control. That is a huge takeaway from today. If your doctors are only testing glucose or hemoglobin A1C, they will miss this stage of your body moving along the spectrum towards type 2 diabetes. The only way that you're going to be able to detect that insulin resistance at this point is that insulin tolerance challenge, or perhaps a fasting insulin or a random insulin if you have previous lab work to compare it to be able to start see those numbers creeping up from where they were in the past. This is that zone where your body is definitely struggling, but labs are still a bit vague, and it will continue until those labs become less and less vague and the numbers do indeed start to indicate the insulin resistance and the type 2 diabetes. So here we are starting to see that the body is burning out. And we're seeing this at a younger and younger age, especially with women with PCOS. This used to be kind of like 60s. And we are seeing it in the general population, not just with PCOS, much younger, 40s, you know, 50s. And then with women with PCOS, we're starting to see this in the 30s. So women in their 20s, usually their body is compensating still quite well. This is general. It doesn't mean you can't get type 2 diabetes. I have even seen women with PCOS in their 20s dealing with diabetes already, but that is rare. 30s, though, it's becoming more and more common because it's not being addressed early enough. And that's why I feel like this episode is so important, is to bring that awareness. Most physicians will start you on medications when they start to see that sign of insulin resistance if they're testing for it appropriately. But if they haven't already, once they start to see that your blood sugar levels are going up, like you're starting to really show that prediabetes, they will definitely start you on medications, and medication is definitely needed at that point. So little caveat, disclaimer here. Well, type 2 diabetes, prediabetes, the insulin effect, any of this spectrum is very responsive to lifestyle changes. The damage that that extra blood sugar can do in your body if left unchecked without enough insulin. It's really important to go ahead and start medication if recommended by your doctor. We're going to have an episode coming up about metformin, and it will give a little bit more clarity on when it's kind of optional and when it's not. And this is something where, although you may be able to wean off that medication, well, if you don't tolerate one medication well, there are other medications that you can try instead. All of those risk factors of developing eye disease, heart disease, neuro disease, and so forth are going to be decreased by starting medication if needed. So while I highly recommend a lifestyle natural approach to dealing with diabetes, prediabetes, the risk of diabetes, you definitely don't want to only do that if you're farther along on the spectrum and need medication at least for a while or in some amount while you get that back under control, or even after you improve, you may still need some degree of medication. And that doesn't mean it's a failure. That medication is there to assist you in keeping your body functioning as best we can, but you will do so much better if you incorporate the lifestyle changes as well. Okay, little caveat disclaimer over, but I just wanted to go ahead and point that out because while I focus on the natural approach, I highly recommend the medical approach when it comes to insulin and diabetes when warranted. Okay, but the whole point of this episode is that I often hear people talking about type 2 diabetes as if it's just part of our society. And unfortunately, although it is so common and more people are getting it every year and younger people are getting it every year, it's not normal just because it's common. As a society, our lifestyle and eating patterns have changed so much in the last like 50, 60 years, it's beginning to have an effect on us as a whole, especially women with PCOS, because we are already so prone to insulin resistance and inflammation. And then when you add in the now common lifestyle and eating of the Western society, it just puts us at such high risk for type 2 diabetes. All right, so there you have it. That is the process of developing type 2 diabetes, and you may be anywhere along that spectrum. But now I am an extremely practical person, and I really appreciate someone giving me that heads up on what's coming my direction, because it's just retrospectively, I'm like, well, why didn't anyone clue me in? And in this case, I wanted to give you a heads up, a full understanding of the insulin, the risk factors, and all of that. But more importantly, let's talk about how to prevent and reverse this process. So as we understand what's going on in our body, now we can start to decide what is right for us. What do we want from our life? What do we want from our health? And to what degree are we wanting to manage and take care of our health? There's no right or wrong answer here. You know, information is power because it lets us know what's going on. And then there's no should, there's no shame, there's no any of that. All we have to do then is figure out what do we want from our body? What do we want from our life? And then we can take the steps to work towards that. But until we understand the risks ahead, it's hard to say, okay, wait, this really matters and I need to devote time and energy towards it, even if it's not easy or what I want to be doing today. That wake up call to me that I did not want to be overweight and getting more and more and more overweight. I didn't want to be a type 2 diabetic. I didn't want all the PCOS symptoms, and I definitely wanted to heal my fertility. That was a huge wake up call, and it got me started on my health journey. And the coolest thing that I think there is about PCOS, as well, we feel so bogged down that it can feel like it's too much sometimes, that is the spiral going downwards. But as soon as we start making our health that priority, as soon as we realize, okay, wait, this matters, these are the steps I need to take, we can start that upward spiral and it starts to feel easy, it starts to feel doable. And that's how I started to feel as I got my health journey started. And I had my 3 kids, but that health and the way that I felt and the energy and all of that remained something that I wanted to keep in my life. And I got to continue along that health journey. And so this is your opportunity to think about, how do you want to feel? What do you want in your life? And how can you go about creating that? Because the cool thing with this whole spectrum of insulin to type 2 diabetes is that it is reversible. Okay, so how do we actually go about preventing and decreasing our risk of type 2 diabetes, especially when we have PCOS? The two big factors are going to be nutrition and exercise. While other lifestyle factors, such as managing stress and making sure that we create a good environment for our bodies, is also really important and can really boost our success with the nutrition and exercise, those are going to be the two biggest factors. But I can see you. I can hear you rolling your eyes with this one. And I know, because we've all heard it before, right? We've all heard that we need to eat better and we need to exercise more. And that advice has really been overdone and it feels really burned out. It does to me as well. But the good news is that it doesn't have to be extreme. In order, like I was saying, to see that downward spiral reverse and start being an upward spiral towards health, small changes make a huge difference. We're not talking about ultra fitness here. That can feel really unattainable when you're feeling stuck with PCOS. Now, it is not unattainable, I will tell you that. It's 100% attainable if that's what you want. But I know when I was sitting in this position of getting diagnosed and feeling like I was just destined to be this overweight, hairy, childless diabetic, being ultra fit felt completely unattainable. And if I could go back, what I would tell myself in that moment is that it wasn't going to be as hard as I thought it was, and little changes would make huge differences. So the cool part about this is that you can really achieve this by still enjoying events with friends, by still enjoying the occasional indulgence, but setting up your day-to-day and your week-to-week with really healthy choices so that you're getting a good amount of protein, so that you're getting fruits and vegetables, and that you're minimizing the sugar spikes and the sugary processed foods throughout the week. And the movement, we've talked about in other episodes, getting the physical exercise that you need. There's 2 episodes on it. I will link to those in the show notes below. But this is less about spending hours in the gym. It's more about getting your body moving, getting that circulation, and actually feeling really good in your body by getting stronger and giving yourself that self-care of movement. And I know that sounds straightforward. It really, truly is that simple. It's not necessarily easy to make those habit changes. So if you need extra support, if you are needing assistance with that, I encourage you to go and find me on Instagram, where I will post other helpful tips where you can learn more and more about how you can get assistance with your PCOS. But it really is that simple. And that is the exciting thing when it comes to reversing and preventing diabetes and that insulin effect in your PCOS. So there you have it, my friend. I hope that helps you give you a better understanding of type 2 diabetes and how it can develop, as well as helping you feel energized and hopeful, knowing that you have the power to prevent it and to transform your health, because you can live a life on your terms. It doesn't have to be all or nothing, and you don't have to always be crazy rigid in your health journey to keep these risks under control. The first step is awareness. And then the knowledge and understanding so that you can take the steps now to reduce your risk of this complicated disease. If you have any additional questions on this topic or other topics of the PCOS Repair Podcast, I would love to continue the conversation over on Instagram. You can find me at Nourish to Healthy, and I look forward to chatting with you over there. And until next time, be sure to tap the subscribe button on your favorite podcast listening platform so that you'll get notified each week when the next topic of PCOS health becomes available. And until next week, bye for now. Did you know that studies of PCOS epigenetics have shown that our environment can either worsen or completely reverse our PCOS symptoms? I believe that although PCOS makes us sensitive to our environment, it also makes us powerful. When we learn what our body needs and commit to providing those needs, not only do we gain back our health, but we grow in power just by showing up for ourselves. This is why I've created a guide for you to get started. My PCOS Fertility Meal Guide can be found in the show notes below. I want to show you how to create an environment that promotes healing while still being able to live a life that you enjoy. This guide is completely free, so go get your copy now, so that you can step into the vision that you have for your life and for your health.